The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be greatly blessed as you are impacted by this powerful word of God from Christ Way Ministries International. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened as you experience the power in the word of God. God bless you.
Father, we appreciate you for what you have been doing with us since we've been here yesterday. Thank you for various impartations we have been receiving. We pray that this moment also will be an additional time of blessing for each one of us in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that everything that is in your heart to do for us and do in our lives, you go ahead and perfect it in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord our God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. The subject before me is spiritual gifts for fruitfulness in the ministry. Spiritual gifts for fruitfulness in the ministry. Let us read the text together in our booklets, John 15, verse 16. Can we go? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll read verse 1 and then 7 to 10. Can we go? Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with that. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gift of healing by the same Spirit. 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Amen? Amen. Our God is a God of fruitfulness. Daddy has spoken out about that in his message yesterday. God is a God of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is both a command and a blessing from God, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28, chapter 9, and then verse 7. And also in Exodus chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, the picture of what fruitfulness is all about is given to us. Exodus 1, 7, I will read from here. But the Israelites were fruitful, multiplied greatly, and became exceedingly numerous, so that the land was filled with them. The Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, so that the land was filled with them. Amen? Okay, let us prophesy. Say, in the name of Jesus, we shall be fruitful. The Lord will multiply us greatly. We shall become exceedingly numerous. In the name of Jesus. Say, believing, amen. So, when God created man, He empowered him to be fruitful. And that is what we are seeing around us here today. After many years, look at the billions of people all over the world talking about biological reproduction. So it is very important to God so much that God attached great reward to fruitfulness according to John chapter 15, verse number 2. So, our productivity actually concerns God in this service that we are rendering in His kingdom. In verse 2, He says that whatever we ask the Father will give us to us. Like, you know, blessing of fruitfulness, if we are fruitful to Him. And that He will help make us to do more, to be more fruitful. The Lord desires that every effort in Christian ministry should translate to the salvation of many souls from eternal destruction and growth in Christ's likeness of the saved. Whatever we do in church, whatever activity, whatever programs, must achieve this purpose. Souls must be saved. You can see that passion being released from the message that our beloved pastor, Pastor Shola Ajibade, gave us this morning. That passion, you can see it being released. That the purpose of the ministry is to touch life, is to bless life, is to impact. And the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. God hates fruitlessness. And we saw that in Luke chapter 13, verse 6 to 9. But God will do everything, just like what we are doing here, to water us, to impact us, to anoint us, so that we can move from here and then be more fruitful in our service for Him. We are going to have time to pray and receive impartation today as this program will be closing, and the Lord will bless each one of us in Jesus' mighty name. Where do we get, you know, power for fruitfulness? It's come from God. Power for fruitfulness is found in God. It is a product or the product of divine empowerment and flow of grace. It's the product of divine empowerment and flow of grace. Jesus said in John 15, I read John 15 verse 4 to 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I'm the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Paul says, we are not sufficient of ourselves. So without Christ, we cannot achieve anything. There is no gimmick we can use that will bring fruit as God desires, the kind of fruit that God desires. It's not all fruit that God desires, and it's not all fruit that is approved by God. Like somebody said, that not all growth is good growth. That could be cancer growth. Not all growth is good growth. I remember many years ago, I was doing NYC in Bauchi. One guy came to town. He was actually sent by a missionary organization from Ibadan here. And every Sunday, he give food to people come to church every Sunday. So, you know, people who are hungry, people who are poor, food will be something to catch them easily. And so they were going to that church. And he was recording lots of numbers. And people that were sending, people that sent him there, he said, this man has really succeeded here. So by this number, he should be self-sufficient by now. They didn't know that many people were coming from different churches to come and eat his food, and was counting the attendance. But where money was no longer coming, they started to fizzle out one by one. And the church where I was recording hundreds, within 2-3 months, now was reduced to like 10 people. He became frustrated and left town. Real life story. May God help us in Jesus' mighty name. So, God is the one who can actually empower us to be fruitful. Amen? So, blessing us with spiritual gifts is God's way of empowering us. I want to talk about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are spiritual enablements that are divinely bestowed upon individuals by the Holy Spirit for the work of the ministry. It's a divine empowerment for the work of the ministry. These gifts produce supernatural manifestations, which were obvious in the early church. This played great roles in the spread of the gospel then. We'll look at a few examples later. Played great roles in the preaching of the gospel, in the spreading of the gospel, and the effectiveness of the gospel. We cannot say that it is no longer needed in our time. The Bible spoke about many gifts of the Spirit anyway, according to Romans 3, 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 10, and Ephesians 4, verse 11. But I want to limit myself to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10, for want of time. We can go and read the rest at home. There are three divisions of spiritual gift according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10. And there are three gifts or manifestations on each division. Division one is the speech gifts. And under this, we have tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Number two is revelation gifts. And under this, we have word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. It's not my concern to begin to explain on it. I don't have time for that. Number three is power gifts. And this also, under this, we have faith. We have healings. And then we have miracles. Like I said, I don't want to concern myself to be talking and explaining about these gifts. You can go and study about them. Now, the purpose of spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 7, the Bible says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, that is this gift, is given to every man to profit with. It's to enhance our productivity. It's to make us to be fruitful in the service so that we will not be barren, so that our work will bring supernatural fruits as God desires. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 24 to 25. The Bible says, enumerating or explaining why gift is important in the church. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner. Look at what the Bible says. He will be convinced that he is a sinner and will be judged by all. Verse 25. And the secret of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Amen? Amen. Not today that we will have demonized people in church, and they will even be in, they will wangle themselves into the leadership of the church. Because we cannot discern. The presence of God is not really, really a manifestation. There was a church, I won't mention name, real life story that happened. Of course, we have been told, you don't call me out to come and give a false this thing. So, some witches were in that church, and prominent people were among them. One day, a man of God was invited. As he was preaching, the fire of God came down. That person started to shake and was confessing, to the amazement of everybody. And he started to mention them. As he was mentioning their name, they started to manifest demonic manifestations too. And that church was purged. It was purged of all those infestations of demons. We don't want to talk about manifestation of the gift of the Spirit because of some things that we think are not decent. If somebody should begin to roll here now, you say it's not decent. But it's a manifestation of the supernatural Spirit of God. Amen? So, number one, when the gift of the Spirit is manifesting in our lives and in our ministry, we will get results that is supernatural. So without divine enablement, we cannot get results, much results. And if we manage to get some,
it may not abide. So, I don't know any of us who have read about John Wesley, his ministry, the ministry of all Charles G. Finnis. If you have read about him, it was recorded that the convert of his crusade, they always stand. It's not the one that we say, you want to give your life to Christ, come to the front. And when they are in the front, you even see some people looking here and there. Looking here and there. Showing that there is no deep touch. And it's only God's spirit that can do a deep touch. Nobody did any follow-up for me when I gave my life to Christ. Nobody. Nobody feasted me. Nobody was coming to visit me at home. Nobody. And that was traceable to the fact that my conversion was supernatural. Go and find out. People were really touched by God. And I've never thought of leaving Christ one day or backslided one day. Never. Does that mean that everything was smooth for me? No. So, if God really touched an individual and his conversion is by the work of the Holy Spirit, he's going to stand. Amen. Amen. So, the Bible says that Jesus told the disciples, he says, before you go and do ministry, in Luke 24, verse 49, telling us how important this is, he said, now we send the Holy Spirit, just as the Father has promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. And in John 15, 16, Jesus told us, I have chosen you and appointed you that you may bear fruits and fruits that will abide. Number two, importance of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere disciples preached in the Bible in those days, in the book of Acts especially, and healed the sick, cast out demons, and worked miracles, multitude turned to Christ. These passages, you can read them later, but let me read maybe one or two. Acts 5, verse 12 to 16. The apostles were performing many miracles, signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Verse 14. Yet more and more people believed. More and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. More and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. May the Lord give us plenty of fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. More and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. Crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets. May the Lord empower us for this great work in the name of Jesus. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought into the streets on beds and mats so that people's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. So, you can see the method whereby God was propagated in those days and the results that came out of it. Acts 8, verse 6 to 8. Crowd listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Those days have not gone. Amen? Are they gone? Miracle days are gone? Please answer, church. Miracles are still real today. And God can use us as he used the apostles. Say, God can use me. Say it again, God can use me.
And number three, spiritual gift is a proof that God is with us and is working with us. It's a proof that God is with us and is working with us. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 the other time. Okay? In Mark 16:20, the Bible recorded about the disciples. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord walked with them and confirmed his word with signs that accompanied it. The Lord walked with them. May the Lord walk with us. I say, may the Lord walk with us. May the Lord walk with us in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us look at another important thing about spiritual gifts for fruitfulness in ministry. Warnings on the use of spiritual gifts. Number one, do not seek spiritual gifts apart from God. There are people who seek spiritual gifts apart from God. How can you receive power from the devil and be using it for God's work? Is it possible? But we have heard stories, many stories here and there about those who go and seek for power from the devil, bearing a live cow, and as much maggot as that generate, that is what it's going to bring. That is not Jesus' work. It's not God's work. It's not building the kingdom of God. It's a business. It's a business enterprise. So don't seek spiritual gifts apart from God. Number two, do not commercialize God's gifts. Spiritual gifts are for the glory of God. In Matthew 10 verse 8, Jesus commanded the disciples, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely what? Freely give. Say in the name of Jesus, I will heal the sick. In the name of Jesus, I will cleanse the lepers. In the name of Jesus, I will raise the dead. In the name of Jesus, I will cast out devils. Amen?
Amen.
That is what he has told us to do. And he will empower us to do that in the name of Jesus. We will not perform below expectations in Jesus' name. Number three, don't use spiritual gifts to control people. There are people, men of God, that use spiritual gifts in their life to control people, to control families. They have instituted themselves, they have become God, in quotes. So they must take permission from them before they travel. They must see vision for them before they do anything. There are people who have married those who they don't like, but because the pastor say that is the person God say you must marry. No pastor here should do that. So you have become a witchcraft spirit has possessed you, controlling people. You are not supposed to control people. That is not our ministry. Amen?
Amen?
Number four, do not start a ministry because gift of the Spirit is manifesting in your life. The fact that you are a professor doesn't mean now that you cannot go and start your own. You should be careful so that pride doesn't possess you. And then you now say, I can go and then you go and start your own. Number five, do not get inflated and think you are not bigger than everyone because you now manifest gifts of the Spirit. Be what?
Be humble.
The Bible says, pride goeth before a fall. Yesterday, Daddy gave us an example of someone who fell flat. And unfortunately, we were told yesterday that he's dead now. And it was pride. He embarked on that destructive road through pride because gifts were manifesting in his life. Nobody can control him again.
They won't stay in church anymore. I have ministration here. I have ministration there. He's no longer staying in a church. He's no longer under authority. He's doing his own. Our young people especially should pay attention to this and listen very well. Our young pastors. If you want to last in ministry, you must be very, very careful. Go and study about peril of anointing. And you will see catalog of people that have ended their ministry and their lives abruptly because of pride, inflated by manifestation of the gifts in their lives. Let's continue. Manifesting spiritual gifts for fruitfulness in ministry. These things will help us. Number one, before you can even manifest gifts of the Spirit, you must have the Holy Spirit, which presupposes that you have given your life to Christ. Anybody can have dream. In fact, some people need to be delivered from bad dreams. Somebody said that all her dream always come to pass. And it is always bad dreams. I said, why don't you have good dreams? You need deliverance. So, you see, before she got saved, whatever dream she had must come to pass. And now she's born again. And the same spirit is still operating in her life. She will always have any bad dream, she will be afraid. Ah, this thing will come to pass. Why don't you see good ones? You need deliverance. It's not all dreams that are from God. It's not all manifestations that are from God. If you are in such a category, you may seek help. Let them pray for you so that you can be delivered from that spiritual infection. So, you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit first. If you are a worker in the house of God, seek to be baptized in the Spirit. It's very, very important. Jesus told the disciples, don't go out. Stay until you are what? You are baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this is not a focus on the importance of the Holy Spirit, but there is no way you can successfully live a Christian life, ordinary Christian life, without the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. Talk less of now being involved in the ministry. Ah, Benny Penyon, wow, Alan, yeah. So, if you are involved in ministry at whatever level, you must seek to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. See your pastor, see your leader. Let them pray for you. You may even receive it on your own. Like I received my own. Nobody lay hands on me. I've came out to receive. I didn't receive. So eventually I gave up. So I gave up. Giving up not to mean that God will not give me the Holy Spirit or baptize me with the Holy Spirit. I gave up of going out to be laid hands upon. I started to study and read about the Holy Spirit. And one day, I was praying for somebody and I started to speak in tongues. Amen? Amen? And I know someone who just knelt down to pray and started and burst into praying in spirit. So you can receive it depending on how hungry you are for the Holy Spirit. So receive the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life. And that is what is called being filled with the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit work in your life, one of the major work of the Holy Spirit in your life is to help you to get transformed in the image and the Christ-likeness. Number three, strongly desire the Spirit's gifts in your life. Desire. The Bible says we should covet earnestly. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 31. Confess earnestly the best gifts. Don't be passive about it. Convert earnestly the best gifts. Number four, have pure motive. That is the motive to glorify God, see the gospel spread, see sinners saved, and serve the captives free. We need the gift of the Spirit in our time more than never before. I don't know whether you feel happy when you are preaching the gospel and people are making jests at you. If you read Charles G. Finney's exploit in ministry, you will feel sad for yourself. G. Finney that entered a factory and the factory shut down because people came under heavy conviction of their sins. And here today we have sinners in church who are very comfortable stealing church money. And there is no conviction in them. They are still comfortable as when they were out there in the world. We need the manifestation of the gift of spirit as never before. Thank God for hospitals. Thank God for technology in medical practice and breakthroughs in drugs and surgeries. But you see, that cannot handle everything. There are still incurable diseases. But with God, all things are what? All things are possible with God. All things are. In fact, even some people, they have diseases that can be managed or cured by tablet. They don't have money to buy drugs. When this strike that happened at the university, many staff have died. And some of them are attributed to the fact that they don't have money to buy drugs. Drugs they could have accessed easily in the hospital under the established care. They couldn't have access to it. And they don't have money to go and purchase drugs. One of my friends calls me in Abuja that one of our friends in town who happens to be a staff there also has called him. He didn't know that by virtue of the nature of his work, he was not familiar with what is going on, like university is under closure, blah, blah, blah. And he said, that person says he's on apprehensive drugs and doesn't have money to purchase drugs for the past 3 weeks. The blood pressure has been shutting up. And if care is not taken, something will go wrong with that fellow. But there is anointing, healing anointing. Amen? Amen. There is healing anointing. So, we need manifestation of God's gift in our lives as like never before at this time that we are in the world. And so, we cannot be cold about it. We need to hungry for it. In our hunger for it, we need to study these gifts. The Bible says, don't be ignorant about the spiritual gifts. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. We must invest our time in study. We have been encouraged greatly yesterday by the first message that we had here. To seek knowledge, to seek to know. Seek to know. What you don't know, you may not get. What you don't have knowledge of, you may not pursue it. So let us seek to know. Let us study. Let us read about spiritual gifts. There are books on spiritual gifts. And also, let us pray consistently for it. Pray every time for it until you see it manifesting in your life. God wants to release it to us, but do we know we need it? Do we desire it? Do we pray for it? We should pray for it. And then in seeking to be impacted with the gift of the Spirit, we can ask for laying of hands from our fathers in the Lord. Those we know are actually have been blessed by God with this gift. That is what is called impartation. But you must be careful from whom you are seeking impartation. So that you are not, as the person is laying hands on you, he's not transferring another spirit upon you. Yes.
You remember Naaman? Naaman went to collect gifts from, Gehazi. Went to collect gifts from Naaman. He collected gift plus what?
Uh-huh.
So you must be careful. Not because somebody is performing a miracle that is actually genuinely is by the Spirit of God. That enablement is by the Spirit of God. Before you go to seek or go for that meeting. Because we have pastors who will do impartation meeting, for intergenerational, and you see young people trooping there. And then when you leave that place where you have gone to collect impartation, this place, this so that you do not bring adultery with you or covetousness, you don't bring it along. This place is a sanctified ground. Amen. God is here. Say, God is here. You can come here to pray. You can do a retreat here, personal retreat here. God has been meeting with people here. God is in this place. Amen. Those who are not even members of Christ, we see them come here. Because this ground is a holy ground. God is present here. You can meet with God here. You can encounter God here. You don't need to go elsewhere. Let us value our own. The Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus Christ. And then also, as we seek to manifest this, the gift of the Spirit, we do it by faith. Act by faith. We receive the gift by faith and we act. The manifestation of the gift is by faith. Don't pray for somebody to receive healing and then you are waiting for the healing to manifest. Pray for somebody to be healed and leave the results in the hand of God. Somebody came to my office some years ago. She was given a diagnosis that actually troubled her. And then she came. She was referred to the teaching hospital. I said, so I encourage and pray for her. I said, I should go to the teaching hospital. I didn't even pray that God should heal her. I said, I should go to the teaching hospital. May God guide you to see the right doctor. Because sometimes you need that prayer. Abi?
Yes.
For proper diagnosis. As you go there, may God guide your feet. In Jesus' name. And whatever is done there, let it bring healing to this person. And the person goes. Left my office. In about a minute, she came back. She said, I've been healed. I said, what? I was surprised myself because I it's not that I prayed for her to be healed. Praise God. Let God heal you. Let God do the work through you. Amen? So don't act by faith. And the Bible says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Are we? You don't see it, but you have done your own. Leave the result in the hand of God. And see, pastors, let us keep the habit of praying for the sick in our churches every Sunday. Sometimes when you go to church, you find out that the atmosphere is not created for people to meet with God. And everything cannot come from the center. Everything cannot come from the center. Like giving you prayer points or telling you how to do prayer in your church. When people come to church on Sunday, it's like somehow going to church on Sunday for most of us has become a nominal thing. We have come to socialize. Some we even standing outside talking and jitting with their friends when service is going on. Whereas you are supposed to come to church to encounter God. Abi, you brought a body, you must not go with that body. You brought a sickness, you must not go with that sickness. There is a trouble in your life when you came. When you are going home, there is hope in your heart. So let us create that environment, that atmosphere. Let's pray for people. Your own is to pray for people. The result is in the hand of God.
That Onyemi is here. He has passion. He always talks about faith clinic. Days of faith clinic. Can it be resuscitated? If not from the central, can we resuscitate in our local churches? Amen? Pastor, can you have a time in your schedule as you perform your ministry where members in your church can meet with you once in a day? I mean, once in a week. When they can meet with you and you can actually minister to them under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because Sunday, you cannot do everything on Sunday. There are some we need specialized ministration. And we can do it. The Lord will bless us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So we need, you agree with me, that we need the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And we need empowerment. We are not sufficient of ourselves. The work that God has called us to do is a supernatural work, isn't it? It's a supernatural work. And we must be up to it. We must be empowered for it. We must seek to be up to it. We must cultivate the culture of, of receiving grace from God regularly by being involved in praying and in fasting. You cannot say you are a pastor, you are a minister, and you will be eating from Monday to Sunday. Eating from Monday to Sunday. Even if you are not a member, if you are pastoring a local church, you must be a member of the prayer squad of that church. Is it okay? Am I in order? And you say, Pastor Lawa, I want prayer squad in here. What are you doing? So you cannot be eating from Sunday to Monday throughout the week, 24 hours of the day. There is no single day you will skip your meal. You will not fast. Don't key into ministers who will tell you that it is by faith. Go and find out how many prayer and fasting they have done before they arrive at the point they are now. Go and find out. Things they do not emphasize, but they knew the road they have walked before they got to where they were. And young ministers in our days, they have that tendency. They are seeing the result of somebody who has been in ministry for 40 years. They didn't go to read or study about how he came to that point, how he arrived there. Days of locking himself in the room, drinking water for 3 days, for 7 days. And then he will come out and he said, because of the evidences of prosperity in his life now, and they'll even be mimicking them the way they talk. They don't know the sacrifice that man has paid. Jesus himself prayed fasted for how many days? 40 days and nights. That's a marathon fast. It's not the one you eat in the evening. So, let me conclude. The goal of Christian ministry, the goal of ministry work is to bear fruit for the one who has called us. The work of the ministry is a supernatural work. Say it is a supernatural work. Say it again, it's a supernatural work. Say, I need supernatural enablement to be sufficient for the work. Daddy told us yesterday about someone that was told to come and preach here, and the husband reported to him that my wife fasted for 7 days. Why is he doing that? Huh? For supernatural enablement. To come and minister here on the altar as a choir, you need what? Supernatural enablement. It's not entertainment. It's not entertainment. It's a supernatural work. People have been praising the Lord and they have been healed. Abi? They have been praising the Lord and their hope in God have been resuscitated.
in praises, supernatural things have happened. So the goal, we need enablement. Let us seek supernatural impartation of the Spirit with all our heart, and we shall be filled in the name of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 5 verse 6, he says, those who hunger after righteousness shall be what? Shall be filled. Isaiah 44 verse 3, he says, I will pour water on a dry and thirsty ground. We must thirst for it. Let us pray. Ron agbara o zuwa ron agbara o zuwa agbara o zuwa ki o si ba ki si ron agbara that you yourself will create this hunger and thirst in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Yeah.